Shalom. Great to see y'all here. It's our custom, so I want to stick with our custom. At least it's my custom. I don't know why, but I am from South, you know. Actually, I'm from South of Ukraine. Yeah. So y'all, it's also our expression. Only in Russian, but the same idea. So today, what I would like to speak about final day of Pesach, and still I can say to you, Hag Pesach Sameach, because it's still Pesach. Let's say Pesach. Yeah, good. So, yeah, thank you. Be careful with it, but it's good. Actually, this was one of my favorite holiday. And it's great that you can have 7 days of Pesach to worship the Lord, to give thanks to Him, to praise Him, to be with Him during this time. And also, it's very helpful. Only matzah for a whole week. Time to remember. Many historic events distinguish our people from other people groups. But none is of greater importance to us. None is more remembered by us than the great days of our deliverance from our slavery in Egypt. How well we recall our incredible liberation with the Lord by His mighty hand brought us up out of Egypt. When He brought 10 judgments upon the land of our captivity, when He parted the sea that blocked our flight, the Lord gave us freedom. And this is the time to remember His victories. And every year, since that day, we gather with family and friends to commemorate and celebrate the mighty miracle and to repeat for ourselves the entire story of our exodus from bondage in Egypt, this time of Seder, when we gather together around the table and we remember. Every year, we remember our exodus from Egypt. Today is the last day. Today is the final Seder of that week-long celebration. This final Seder is called the Messianic Seder. It has name, Messianic Seder, to signify an expectation of coming Messiah. Throughout the Jewish world, people having the last Seder calls Messianic Seder, to expect the Messiah to come. However, we who are Messianic believers understand that the Messiah is no longer an expectation, but a realization. Yeshua is our Messiah. Therefore, we celebrate this holiday in its fullness. We join ourselves with all Jewish people to remember our exodus from slavery of Egypt, but also we celebrate Messiah, our Pesach, who dramatically released us from bondage of sin and death. And I would like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's a beautiful, beautiful place of scripture. Get rid of the old hametz, so you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So great. We can boldly celebrate our Messiah, who is our Passover, our Exodus, the Passover lamb slain for us, for all of us. And this is time of celebration. To help understand the depth of these words, let me read another passage from the scripture. And this is the John chapter 1, verse 29. Beautiful place of scripture and so important for us. The next day, Yohanan, or John the Immerser, is the same man. Yeah, it's not the John the Baptist. It's not the John of Pentecostal. It's not the John of Charismatic. It's the John of Immerser. The next day, Yohanan sees Yeshua coming to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a beautiful proclamation here. Interesting fact here. In fact, that when Yohanan proclaimed these words to the people of Israel, everyone clearly understood their meaning. It was very understandable for people in that time in Israel. Every Jew, no matter how religious he was, knew the meaning of the Passover lamb. He had experienced the annual slaying of the Passover lamb, and he knew the prophetic meaning of the Pesach. At the time when Yohanan came to the scene, messianic expectation had reached their peak. It was messianic time, time to expect Yeshua to come, time to expect Messiah to come. Jewish people expected the Messiah. They were tired of the emptiness, the absence of prophets, the lack of the knowledge of God. They were tired of Roman authority. Even priesthood system was corrupted at that time. Judaism of that day was the religion of tradition, and people were hungry for spiritual life. No more prophets, no more miracles, even priesthood corrupted. So people were hungry for the Lord. It was time of messianic movement to come. This is why these few words on their ears, the Lamb of God, words from Yohanan, the Lamb of God, were absolutely stunning, more gripping than many sermons, louder than a shofar blast. It was so powerful, so loud, so important to hear. Because this was the beginning of new era, the age of the Messiah, because Yeshua has come. Can you imagine spiritual atmosphere during that time? When Yohanan saw Yeshua coming to him and he said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes sins of the world." Yeshua said about Yohanan in the Matthew 11:11, "Amen, I tell you, among those born of woman, none has arisen greater than John the Immerser, Yohanan. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I have a question here. Why was Yohanan is the greatest prophet rather than Moses or Elijah or any other greater prophets? Why Yohanan? It's an interesting question for us. I thought about this a few days, actually, and I'm amazed because I see something here. Moses, I think this is my opinion, Moses opened the door for the Torah to come into the world. Yohanan opened the door for Messiah to come. Moses announced the coming of the Torah on the mountain. Yohanan announced the coming of the Messiah. He had greater ministry. What an honor for Yohanan to give tefillah, immersion, to the Lord and Savior in the Jordan. Can you imagine? He said, "I can't give it to you because I'm not worried even to help you with your shoes." He opened the door for Messiah to come. It's my opinion, but I think Moses and Elijah and other great prophets dreamed of seeing this day. And I'm sure they would gladly have switched places with Yohanan to be able to immerse the Messiah and bring him to the world. What a great ministry he has. That is why Yohanan was called the greatest prophet. He opened the doors for the Messiah. He revived the spiritual world through his message, the simple message, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Revival in the spirit, in the hearts of the Jewish people came. Truly, Yohanan prepared the way of the Lord. It was his task. But what is important to recognize, it's said here, then the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Even least in the kingdom of heaven. I think it's my opinion, it's only my opinion. Which means that you and I, who believe in the Messiah and are filled with the Holy Spirit, Ruach Elohim, have a greater understanding and calling. Because all prophets were a shadow of our future in the Messiah Yeshua. Because we live in a new era, era of Messiah. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're forgiven by the Lord. In the scripture, Yohanan was also called the voice of Elijah. And Matthew 11:14, I would like to read it because it's so interesting here. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Yohanan. This prophecy came from the book of Malachi. This is chapter 3. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of Adonai. Elijah has to come. So, Yohanan came before Messiah. And do you remember the cup of Eliyahu during the Passover Seder? It's remembering about coming Elijah. Why? Because Elijah was the prophet who ushered in the spiritual awakening, the spiritual revival from idolatry to faith in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you remember the story of Elijah, he built an altar and he poured water on the altar. Do you remember? He said, bring more water, pour it. And you remember what's happened next? Fire has come. Fire of the Lord. And with fire, revival came into the land of Israel. People of Israel returned themselves to the Lord. They made Shuva to the Lord. You know what's happened with Yohanan, the immerser? He immersed Yeshua in the water. And the Holy Spirit came upon Yeshua. And revival came to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel, to the hearts of every Jew. It's so beautiful picture here. So I would like to read again. The next day, Yohanan sees Yeshua coming to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who is the Lamb of God? What are his functions? And I would like to read a few places of scripture to draw a picture for us. This is in Exodus chapter 12 from the verse 5. Probably we know it, but I would like to remind to ourselves. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must watch over it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat it. So, and you know what the story tells us, that destroyer, the angel of death, passed by and he did not have the power to kill the firstborn in any house which was so marked by the blood on the doorposts. It was safety place, safety house for families who were gathering together around Pesach, Passover lamb. The blood of the lamb was the price of the redemption, or for the redemption of them. And in the same way, the blood of Messiah, the Passover lamb, was the price of our own redemption. It became our salvation. And very important, small idea, but so important for each one of us. Since Yeshua was sacrificed for all our sins, once we have acknowledged his sacrifice, and this is very important, the destroyer no longer has any power over our lives. It's the same idea. Blood of the Lamb protecting us from the destroyer. Lamb of God. Can you imagine the picture there? People of Israel gathering together, looking for answers, looking for future. They were so glad to see prophet because they recognized him, Yohanan, as a prophet of God. And now he's standing there and he's telling them, behold, this is the Lamb of God who is taking the sin of the world. What a picture. What a picture here. Actually, this was the Passover news for them. So important news. I would like to read and I would like to describe something with you. Let's look at some of the scriptures that have shaped the expectations of the Jewish people about the coming of the Messiah. Why they were so hungry for the Lord? What shaped their expectations? Why had Jewish people waited so patiently for the Passover lamb? Why did the words of Yohanan produce such a strong response? And I would like to read a few places of scriptures, and it's a beautiful picture here. The first of all, I will not have time to read it, but I would like to mention Genesis chapter 22. And you can read it home or remind it to yourself. This is the prophetic picture of Akedat Yitzhak, binding of Isaac, sacrifice of Isaac. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son in obedience to the Lord. And you know this story. The Lord forbid him. He said, don't touch your son. But you know what's happened there. Do you remember the place where it happened? It was on the mountains of Jerusalem. And do you remember the name of one of the mountains there? One of the mountains there named Golgotha. Yeah. The place where Yeshua was slaughtered for our sins. And do you remember the answer to Abraham, from Abraham to his son, when Isaac asked, Father, where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrificial lamb? Do you remember answer from the Lord to from Abraham to his son? The Lord will provide for him a sacrifice. The Lord will provide for him a sacrifice. This was a picture of a future sacrifice. Passover lamb for us. The second place, one of the strongest messianic places in the scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. This is very serious. It's very hard to do not see Messiah here because he is so obvious here. It's his picture here. He is here. And I want to read from the verse 3, chapter 53, Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Wow. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This was prophetic picture of coming Passover lamb, Lamb of God, who will take the sins of the world on himself. When Yohanan proclaimed this word, it was from Isaiah 53. This is the Lamb of God. Expected one. He is the Lamb of God. I don't have time to read, but you can read Psalm 22, Messianic Psalm, about Yeshua, about time of his crucifixion. It's so obvious. And prophet Zechariah, chapter 12, from the verse 9. And it shall be in that day I will destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. And on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, I will pour out the spirit of grace and tenderness. And they will look upon, what is your Bible says? They will look upon, in Hebrew it says, upon me, whom they pierced. Wow. Very interesting. You can check it. And will mourn for me as they mourn for their only begotten son. And they mourn as they mourn for their firstborn. This is a Passover message. Message of freedom and forgiveness for all mankind. The people of Israel were disparate, so ready. They were waiting for the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who would bring freedom to his people. It's beautiful. So I would like to conclude with the four, and to discuss four cups of Seder, because this is a beautiful picture of Seder and beautiful picture of Pesach. You know, the central story of Passover Seder are built around four cups. This is the story, first cup, second, third, and fourth. And we can find it in the Exodus chapter 6. All six cups are here. Six ideas of Exodus. It's Exodus chapter 6 from the verse 6 and 7. Therefore say to Bnei Israel, I am Adonai, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So the first cup, the cup of sanctification, I will bring you out from under the Egyptians. Sanctification. The next cup, the cup of deliverance, also called cup of judgments. I will rescue from their bondage through judgments. The cup of redemption, it is the third cup. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And the last cup, also called cup of praise or the cup of kingdom. I will take you as my people. So, let's look at the fulfillment in the Messiah. The first cup. The first cup, the name is Kiddush, sanctification. With this cup, we begin the Passover Seder. And it's a very interesting picture for us. Because sanctification means to be set apart for a special purpose by the Lord, for his purpose. He sanctified us. It means he set us apart for his purpose. The Lord chose the Jewish people. Not them chose him, but he chose them. Let's remember it. Sometimes they were very stubborn, and actually most of the time. But he chose them. It was their destiny. And I remember the words of Yeshua. And the same picture here, when Yeshua chose his 12 disciples, do you remember? It was so easy. He came to and said, follow me. Follow me. He is the chosen side. Yohanan, John chapter 6, the verse 44. The same idea of the first cup in the life of Yeshua. No one can come to me unless my Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. We can't come to the Lord without him calling us. He is the first part. He chose us. He sanctified us. And he sets us apart for him and his purposes. And please remember, the Jewish people were not perfect in Egypt. Not perfect. The same as we are. We were enemies of the Lord when he called us. We made tshuva and turned ourselves to the Lord from our direction because he called us. And this is why it's so important to say yes to the Lord. Do not wait. The second cup, I mean, I have much more, but I would like to. The second cup is called the cup of plagues or cup of judgment or the cup of deliverance. During the second cup of the Seder, we remember the 10 plagues. Do you remember? We are frogs, and blood, and we are remember for ourselves. All 10 judgments. Actually, some Torah scholars said that when Abraham brought his son, it was 10th exam from the Lord for him. So I would like to read it here. During this time of the second cup, we remember the many thousands who died as we departed the Egypt. We remember them. This was great price. The cup of plagues is a cup of judgment, a cup of wrath. Yeshua drank it for us. And the place of scripture is Matthew 26 from the verse 36. I believe this is the cup of plagues, cup of judgment for all of us. I want to read it here. Then Yeshua comes with them to a place and he tells the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took along Peter and Zebedee's two sons, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he tells them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. This was the moment of victory for him, not later. Cross was the last moment, but this was the moment of his fight, of his decision, of his cup. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. This cup of judgment, cup of wrath of God. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Yeshua prayed about this second cup, the cup of anger, cup of anger for our sins, not his, but our sins. We are all sinned and deserve God's wrath. How grateful we should be to the Messiah because he drank the cup of anger in our place, and he turned it into a cup of deliverance for us. He drank the second cup so we can drink the third cup of deliverance instead of anger. And the third cup, this is actually, we are praying, this is the third cup of deliverance, cup of redemption. The third cup we know as the cup of redemption or the cup of blessing. The New Testament names this cup the third cup, traditionally drunk after the supper, the cup of redemption. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, Yeshua calls this cup the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Yeah, beautiful. He declared that the new covenant would be poured from the cup of redemption in his blood. And I would like to remind us, I believe we are believers here, but it's very important to remember, always remember, there is no other way to the Lord. It is impossible to reconcile with God in any other way, only through the cup of redemption. Why? Because he drank cup of judgment. Only through the blood of Messiah, the only perfect sacrifice offered in our place. And I would like to touch one, the last actual idea here. Because some teachings say that Yeshua was not God, rather he was a good rabbi or teacher or good man or prophet. But I would like to remind you that the Lord does not accept human sacrifice. Please remember it. This is why he forbids Abraham to bring Isaac as a sacrifice. Only the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, who paid price for us. And the last cup, fourth cup, this is cup of praise and also cup of kingdom. Two names. Do you remember Yeshua during the last Seder, Passover Seder, during the last cup he told them, I will drink this cup in the kingdom to come. This cup, cup of kingdom, cup of future. We will drink this cup with him in the kingdom. Beautiful. I would like to read the last place of scripture. Do not let your heart be troubled. Actually, this is words during the Passover Seder. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. Amen. This is the good news for us. Good of freedom, good news of freedom, good news of blessing, good news of redemption, good news of hope, of faith in the Messiah Yeshua. I would like to conclude with a short prayer. And if you never before made Shuvah in your life, turn to the Lord, this is time for you. You can freely talk to the Lord. This is time of Passover, time to remember. Great price paid for your sins. I would like to pray. If you would like, pray with me. Heavenly Father, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm coming to you with my open heart and ask you forgiveness for my sins, Lord. Please forgive me. Cleanse me from all my sins. I thank you for Yeshua, the Messiah, the perfect Lamb of God, who died for me, who died instead of me. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. I invite Yeshua in my heart. And I ask, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Bless me with your eternal life. Help me to rejoice in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So let's close with Aaronic benediction. Brian, can you be with me, please? Yes, please find somebody. Don't be alone. This is our tradition. Yevarechah Adonai veishmerecha Yahel Adonai panav alecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha veyasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Hag Sameach. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.